I'm Diane from Keswick Village. This is the Rorschach Arctic Update from the 22nd of July, 2025. A quick summary of what's going down north of the Arctic Circle. The defense of the Arctic is becoming a serious concern for more and more countries around the world, with France becoming the newest country to take interest in defending the far north. On Tuesday, the 15th, Naval News reported that the French armed forces have created their first ever defense strategy for the Arctic. The rest of Europe is stepping up its efforts to protect the Arctic too. On Friday, the 18th, the EU announced its 18th sanctions package against Russia. Some of the sanctions targeted an oil refinery in India, halt Russia's efforts to increase oil and gas development in the Arctic. The Russian energy company Rosneft has an oil refinery in India, which buys almost all of its oil from the Russian Arctic. This sanctions package will make processing and exporting oil from Russia's north harder and more expensive as the EU attempts to slow the growth of this valuable industry. Russia isn't ignoring the increasing tension in the Arctic. On Tuesday, the 17th, Russia's ambassador to Denmark gave an interview with the state broadcaster Novosti, in which he warned if any military conflict breaks out over Greenland, then Russia will take military measures itself. With U.S. President Trump repeatedly threatening to annex Greenland and the EU steadfastly defending the island, Russia believes a military buildup in Greenland is a threat to its own polar security. The fight over the future of Greenland just brought the largest Arctic nation into the struggle. Russia is spending big on its own grand visions of the Arctic. The country has an ambitious plan to create a wave of new cities across the north. And the costs of this plan are coming to light. On Wednesday, the 16th, the Minister of Economic Development in the Northern Kami region announced that the current cost estimate for turning the town of Vorkuta into a bustling polar city is almost $600 million. The plans for this money include a massive expansion in social facilities and upgrading the local road system to connect the surrounding settlements and local mines to Vorkuta, turning this town of under 60,000 people into a large industrial city. Norway has big plans for its northern regions as well. On Tuesday, the 15th, the mayor of Vardo in the Arctic Finnmark region spoke with national broadcaster NRK about northern Norway's first nuclear power plant. The process for building this power plant has only begun recently, and the first architectural drawings have arrived to visualize what the finished plant may look like. Mayor Labaha notes that the entire facility is only expected to take up about 200 acres under 1 square kilometer. However, local Sami reindeer herders are concerned that this project marks yet another disruption to their traditional livelihoods and that their community hasn't been consulted about how the power plant might impact their homelands. The scientific future of Canada's Arctic received a big boost this week. On Thursday, the 17th, the Canadian Arctic Science Network awarded almost $10 million in funding to 25 research projects to better understand the growing challenges in the Arctic. Among the projects receiving funding are a study to identify new bacteria infecting Arctic animals, a genetic study to understand how Arctic organisms are responding to climate change, and research to investigate how environmental changes affect community health. To check out the rest of these projects, follow the link in the show notes. It's not all good news for Northern Canada, though. On Thursday, the 17th, Burgundy Diamond Mines announced it's laying off hundreds of employees at its Point Lake Diamond Mine in the Northwest Territory, citing record low diamond prices. In April, the regional government gave a support package worth over $10 million to mines, including Point Lake, to keep the mine open while diamond prices remain low. But even with this intervention, Burgundy Mines closed down one of the region's most important sources of employment. The Northwest Territory can at least look forward to a more forested future. On Monday, the 14th, the news agency Cabin Radio reported that the Bechoko community has begun the largest reforestation project in the territory's history. Over the next 3 weeks, volunteers will be planting over 1.4 million tree seedlings around the Bechoko Russell Lake and James Lake communities. The seedlings are all locally sourced, and the project hoped to restore the region after the record devastating wildfires that scarred the area in 2023. There's good news for Indigenous communities over the border in Alaska, too. On Wednesday, the 16th, President Donald Trump signed into law two measures designed to benefit Alaska Native people. The laws both hope to improve the economic outlook for Alaskan Native communities. One law removes the requirement that Alaska Native village corporations hold some land in federal trust. Now, communities will be allowed to own the entirety of their homelands. With the second law, Alaska Natives who are aged, blind, or disabled will be allowed not to count some incomes when they calculate their eligibility for federal support. While Trump has come under criticism for his treatment of Native communities, he can celebrate a political win against some of his most ardent critics. Meanwhile, the increasing threats in the Arctic are bringing the EU and Iceland closer than ever. On Thursday, the 17th, the European Commission confirmed that Ursula von der Leyen, the EU president, visited Iceland to launch talks on a new security agreement. She said in a press conference that this agreement will be independent of Iceland's NATO membership and existing defense treaties with the United States. Creating a third pillar for Iceland's security interests, Iceland will also gain access to the EU's SAFE program, which acts as a shared fund for European nations to purchase military equipment. Elsewhere in Iceland, a familiar villain has risen once more. On Wednesday, the 16th, the Icelandic Met Office confirmed that the Sundarkur volcano is erupting again. This marks the ninth eruption since volcanic activity began in late 2023, with local police confirming on Wednesday, the 16th, that the nearby town of Grindavik must be evacuated. According to Met Office, data released on Monday the 21st, this eruption has remained small and does not endanger any human infrastructure. A different threat has appeared, though, as the Met Office has measured significant air pollution spreading from the volcano across the whole west of Iceland. A police statement on the 21st noted that residents of the Reykjanes volcano, where the volcano is located, should remain indoors until authorities confirm pollution levels have dropped. On another note, on Tuesday the 15th, Reuters reported that Finnish Lapland is experiencing an unprecedented heat wave breaching 30 degrees Celsius, about 86 degrees Fahrenheit. On the same day, the Finnish Meteorological Institute issued a heat and wildfire warning across northern Finland, which remains in place until at least Friday the 25th. Closing this edition with sports news, the 2025 International Island Game, a competition for small island states across the world, finished on Friday the 18th. The results are in, and it's a mixed bag for the Arctic competitors. According to the official medal table, Greenland finished with only a single gold medal in badminton. The Åland Islands fared a little better, winning two gold medals in gymnastics out of their total 15 medals. But winning the whole competition by a huge margin was the Faroe Islands, receiving over 40 gold medals and almost 100 medals in total, beating second place Jersey by 20 medals. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can send us feedback at info@rawshock.com. Help us make our updates better. Hadas.